It is customary, as we've discovered, that on this day, on this Resurrection Sunday, that we greet each other with a particular proclamation, one that says, Christ has risen, and to respond with, He has risen indeed. And so, Christ has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Amen. Let us pray. Precious God of grace, let us be ushered into new life as we break open together the word proclaimed again in this service. Amen. For indeed the word has been proclaimed many times in the song of the children, amen, in the sound of strings and instruments, in the voices of the choir, in the sounds of the band, in the spoken word of our worship arts and scripture reading group, in prayer and in communal singing. So I add but a small addition to our service. For indeed, you all are a heavenly host, a beautiful gathering of angelic beings in this day and time. In recent days, I've needed to step away from some busy activity. As we mentioned earlier, we've been preparing to move. Moving stinks. We've needed to change address forms and set up all these things that you forget until you have to move again. And I've needed to step away from the busy activity from our home in order to prepare for today's worship service. More than once, Soraya asked me, why do you need to work on a sermon? Can't you just use the one you did last year? I said, smart girl. Indeed, the story is the same. This week, preachers near and far are invited to reflect on the same yet greatest narrative ever told. The great good news that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the one for whom we sang Hosanna last week, the one for whom he arrived on a donkey and a colt triumphantly into the streets of Jerusalem. Well, that Jesus of Nazareth, who trotted also during this week past on a lonesome and heartbreaking journey of being persecuted and prosecuted. Persecuted and prosecuted to the point of death by the imperial powers of his day. Persecuted and prosecuted unjustly to the point of death, but not just death, but a scandalous death, an offensive lynching of an innocent brown body. And then, laid in the tomb, and then, on a Sabbath morning, with his pierced human body and spirit, he is resurrected, raised to new life, once and all for all creation, paying the debt that we could never, ever, 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 ever pay for ourselves. Indeed, this is great good news that we celebrate on this and every Resurrection Sunday. Amen. This is the great good news that gives hope to the hopeless. This is the great good news that gives life to the lifeless. This is the great good news that heals the brokenhearted, that comforts us in our dying. This is the great good news that gives the followers of Christ joy. The kind of joy that the world can't give and the world cannot take away. Today's scripture reflects the truth of this power in the message spoken through an angel. Words that we need to hear more and more when bombs are being dropped daily without notice, Words that we need to hear when strangers are being crucified by the policies of the day. Words that we need to hear as illness is prevalent. Words that we need to hear as loved ones are terrified, as we are terrified when we find ourselves in the places like Mary Magdalene and the other women in the tombs. When we find ourselves in the space where death is all around. We too, we need to hear more than ever the words that are on the lips of the angels to our hearts, the most common command in the Bible, do not fear. Do not fear. The death was around them. These women, they expected death to continue, but they were told, do not fear, that death was not the final word. This was out of order. Do not fear. The first words of resurrection are a gift to our hearts these days. There is a joy that comes only when you stand in the midst of your fears and proclaim the one who knows you, sees you, calls you by name, the one whose presence is always with you. This Lenten season, we have been on a journey as a congregation. Amen? Week in and week out, we have been studying the spiritual discipline of joy. Joy that can't be denied, even when death and sin and brokenness are all around us. Joy that doesn't need to deny that there is indeed death and sin and brokenness around us. Joy that pushes against our fears of abandonment in the midst of the sin and death and fears around us. We know not everything is just and fair in this world. Amen? We stand in this sacred, liminal space of the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. It means that there are inbreakings in which we see the truth and we see the beauty and we see the love of Christ, but we're not fully there yet. So we too are pierced by the realities of this world. So often we want God's timing to be our timing. Amen? But it is not. We want so much to save our friends, save our family from the heartache. But we can't. Amen? This is what the psalmist calls the valley of the shadow of death in the 23rd Psalm. This is what is referred to as the pit of Sheol. This is what is called the darkest night of the soul, and it is real. This is where the women found themselves in the tombs. But the fact that in the midst of it, God sends good news offers us an option to not fear is miraculous and disorienting, yet true. And that is why Easter matters. Easter is obviously not about a date because it shifts every year. This year is on the 16th. It won't be next year. Easter matters when it's time to bury our loved ones. Easter is not about bunnies in worship, although they're really cute. Easter matters when the prognosis is grim. Easter matters when we are devastated by the realities of the world, when we are terrified. So terrified that we're not sure if that next breath will come. And again, like those women, we are told, do not be afraid. Jesus will meet you. Don't be afraid. They will meet me is the promise. Brothers and sisters, this is good news and a source of liberation for you and for me when I need to be reminded that I have the option to not be petrified by fear. When the world wants us to be pulled apart and angry and hateful and mean towards each other, we have options. We can choose not to fear. And if you're in a place where you can't, look around. This is why we gather. We gather to remind each other that you're not alone, to be the body of Christ with and for each other. You're invited this day, as hard as it may seem, to shift your identity just a bit. So frequently, we are not comfortable with thinking of ourselves as angels because we know that we aren't perfect. Fine, I get it. But there's a way in which, in this scripture, we're invited into that identity. We're invited to be the ones that for ourselves and for others can remind that you don't have to be afraid. That whatever it is you're going through, you're not the first one to go through it, and you won't be the last one. Amen? When we name our own brokenness and name where we've been, there is a power. There is a power that is broken that says that you're not alone. We are often manipulated by our fears. People of God, we have an option to choose joy, to choose the love of Christ over fear, because there is nothing in life or in death that can separate us from the one for whom which we belong, Jesus Christ. This is our joy. What is most remarkable about this joy? And the thing I invite you to in this Eastertide season, and just a reminder, Easter is not a day, it's actually a season. So we're just starting off a new season. In this Eastertide, I invite you to reflect on your unique witness of Christ's love. Because there is a praise and a joy that is unique to you. Shirley shared her words this morning because they are unique to her. Amen? When we sing songs and they come through our body, there is nobody else, even if the words are sung a million times, that can sing it just like you. There is a unique praise and joy for which the world needs it. We, like Mary and the other women, are called to be bearers of the good news that Jesus Christ indeed is not dead. And there are a million opportunities to share this joy in the world. So when Soraya asked me for the second time this week, "Are you sure you can't just use the old sermon?" I really had to slow down. I knew what she meant. But what God offered is this, that indeed this is a 2,000-year-old story. But we as individuals and as humanity have never been where we are today. There is a unique joy that we are called. Angelikos, the word that means angel, means messenger. You are angels. You have heard the good news that Christ is alive. Take it with you, for Christ has risen. 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 Amen.